there, boss.
There's no countdown. We're going.
All right. Well, we are live then. Welcome back to the Diecast Ranch. We're here to talk all things farming and diecast cars. You can follow us on our socials at the TikTok, Instagram, and the YouTube at the Diecast Ranch. As always, I'm your host, Grant, also known as the Orange Track Farmer on TikTok and Instagram. And with me, as always, is just my outstanding of a human being as a co-host, Chris. How we doing?
Hello.
Oh, that's right. You just go with a hello. I'm sorry to set you up like that. I'll do better next time. And joining us in the studio today, we have another good buddy of ours. He's not like the one we had last time. He looks very different if you're watching on the video, but you know, he's should be your first resort for bin supports, and he can get you the castle without the hassle. It's our good buddy Brady. Brady, how are we doing?
Great.
I wrote all that down when we talked this morning. I'm like, I'm going to remember that for the podcast tonight.
Castle without the hassle.
Get you the castle without the hassle. We'll go into more of what that means here in a little bit, but we ended the last segment with dad jokes, so I think we're going to start off this podcast with doing our dad jokes now that we all had time to prepare. I've forgot mine already, so Chris, why don't you start us off with your dad joke of the week?
I'm still laughing about the catchphrase that needs to go on a t-shirt.
The first resort for bin supports, or that he can get you the castle without the hassle.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So we're going right into the dad jokes.
I suppose we better. That's what the people want. Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want?
Mm-hmm.
So this has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but I laughed way too hard to myself about this. How do you plan a space party?
How do you plan a space party?
I screwed it up already. How do you organize a space party?
You plan it?
You plan it.
Oh, jeez.
Yep, screwed it up. And we're starting over.
You're not a dad yet, so we'll give you a pass on it.
I don't have any practice.
Oh, yeah, that's what 90% of my day is as a dad, is just thinking of jokes and executing them.
I do believe that our good friend Brady here has one.
I do have one.
We warned you. We didn't give Nader much heads up last time. We
did make him come with one on the spot. Yeah. You had 2 weeks to think about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I had a customer tell me this one that made me laugh way too hard for how dumb it is, but I'll share it. So this guy and his wife go into the doctor, and she's like 65 years old, and the doctor says, "Well, ma'am, you're pregnant." So she starts screaming and hollering. Her arms are flailing all over the place. She starts running up and down all the hallways, all the stairways, just screaming, yelling, freaking out. And the man says, "Well, what did you do that for?" The doctor says, "Well, I got rid of her hiccups, didn't I?"
Oh, my word.
That is credit to Dave from Nelson Premix in Storm Lake, Iowa.
Oh, my gosh. That's
we're citing our dad jokes now.
I did not see that coming. I like
that bad.
That one had some setup to it. I liked it. I liked it. So I suppose I'll cite mine. I'm pretty sure this one came from a friend of mine in high school. I don't remember exactly which one, but so two muffins are sitting in an oven.
Oh yeah, me.
I say it was one of you. It was one of you.
It was both of us.
don't deprive the people of the dad joke genius here. But so two muffins are sitting in an oven, and one looks at the other one and says, "It's hot in here, isn't it?" The other one turns and says, "Oh my gosh, a talking muffin!" I didn't think to get any laughs out of you guys. How many times have we told that over the last decade?
It just never gets old.
We're too busy telling that we didn't get any important facts like allergies.
It's true. He's still caught up on that. Still caught up on it.
Brady just learned while we were having supper here about an hour ago that Chris has a nut allergy. Something that I think I learned within the past year.
It's not something I just recently contracted. I started in 1994, been with me the whole time.
Does one contract an allergy? How do you even get it? Like a peanut out, like a food allergy like that?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Slept on my stomach, woke up this morning, I got a food allergy. I don't think that's how that works. Oh, Lord. So there you go for all of you that
said you like tofu.
Yeah. So those of you that wanted the dad jokes early, there you go. If you can, we'd appreciate you listen to the rest of the podcast, but if you want to dip out now, there you go. So we've mentioned a little bit, but how Brady is a traveling bin floor support salesman. So I was able to scrounge up a few quick bin facts. So one that's actually pretty close to us. So the largest grain bin in the world, not just in the U.S., I had to look up that is in the world, is actually located within 30 minutes of us over in Mason City, Iowa. So do you guys know how many bushels the thing holds? Okay, Brady's nodding.
You can't guess.
All right. Do you know how many bushels?
It's 2 point something million.
2 point what?
I can't remember. Is it 2.4?
2.2.
God, I was close. you're better
guessing numbers than I am.
I know a fun fact about that bin.
Ooh, fun fact on top of fun fact.
So that bin will hold a Boeing 747 inside of it.
Wow.
Whoa. And the wings will not touch the sides.
Yeah,
another fun fact about that bin.
Do you know how far across that bin is?
156 foot.
156 tall, 165 across.
Sure.
So
you were close.
So it's wider than it is tall.
You know how many bin jacks it takes to jack one of those bins?
To lift it? Well, like a 50,000 one, you got to have like one every 10 feet or something like that.
So this takes 125 jacks.
Holy cow.
So that's just over like one per every like foot and a half or something.
How many rings is that thing?
Tall. Well, if a ring is what, 3 feet and it's 144
inches.
You would know. All right, so you take 156 feet. 156 feet times 12 divided by 44, 42 and a half rings. That math doesn't math.
You can't have half a ring.
Well, you can.
54%.
How tall is it? 156.
So 156 feet tall. So then at 12 inches.
Even if it was narrow rings, it'd still be at a half ring. I don't know how they do it. I know that bottom ring is like, I think it's like, I want to say like 5-7 gauge galvanized sheets thick. So they have they put these huge bolts through there. Just crazy.
Is it one piece or is it like multiple sheets bolted together?
Okay. Yeah, they're multiples.
Wow.
And
how much do you think that thing weighs? Someone told me,
I think, God, I want to say either 3 or 5 truckloads of nuts and bolts. That's just the hardware to put the thing together.
No way.
So,
word.
Yeah. Well, you think about how many.
How much concrete do you suppose is under that thing?
Oof. Well, we could go find out. I mean, we're not far. Like I said, we're 30 minutes.
I drive by it. You know, it's like driving by on the highway. It's like, wow, that's a big bin. But you get up next to it, it's like, wow, that's a big bin.
That's a big bin. Because we built a 48 foot across, like diameter bin a few years ago, and everything showed up in one trailer. Like all the hardware, all the sheets, I think the ladder, all the innards, the floor, all that good stuff, one semi-load. And, yeah, I'm just trying to think how many, well, you said it was umpteen semi-loads just for the hardware. It's like they just keep coming. Probably went the same way for loading and unloading that thing. It says it takes 2,000 trucks to fill it at 2.2 million bushels. It's like, That's a mighty big bin. So that's all I had for bin facts from a quick Google search. Because when they built it, I heard it was going to be, but that was been a few years. So I just want to make sure it was in fact the largest bin.
We could probably plug the manufacturer of that bin, can't we?
Or would we rather not?
I don't care. I got my foot in the door trying to do some business. So this helped, sure.
So that is produced in Sheffield, Iowa.
Oh, okay, that's who built it.
Okay. It is a Sukup manufacturing grain bin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
Sukup. That's how it's pronounced.
Everything from concrete up is Sukup, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the whole structure, everything is Sukup. Pretty sure the crew that built it is Global Bin Builders out of Iowa Falls, but they go around, they do big bins all over the country.
It didn't take them very long to put that thing up.
They've done a lot of them since then.
So, okay, so going back to, there's two truckloads of hardware.
At least.
Somebody touched every one of those bolts twice.
Yeah.
They put it in there, and they tightened it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
We're past the dad jokes. but well done. Great execution. What is, so who, is that like the, which like ethanol plant built that then?
Golden Grain.
Golden Grain. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And they had done years and years of expansion before they built this mm-hmm. bin.
They have a second one now.
Oh, they've got two of them?
They got two of them.
Whoa.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that earlier.
Well, you,
and yeah, they put up a
shows how much I go by there. I didn't know that.
Huh.
That's right behind it.
Wow.
I just keep thinking about how much concrete's under that thing, because like a 250 or 280,000 bushel bin, the floor on those things is like 6 foot thick.
Well, just look at how much concrete they put down for like a wind turbine or something, and that's got a really small footprint.
Several hundred loads of concrete.
Right. Yeah. So to put that in for a bin of that...
Right.
Size. What do you know what the plenum is on that?
Well,
that's probably got a flat, like a concrete floor.
It'd be a flush floor.
Yeah.
Probably like a quad F area.
But it's got it's probably got gaps or air channels in the concrete. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. So, I say like a quad F, you'll have obviously four F shaped tunnels in each corner of the, each quarter of the bin.
I say it's round. Like there's no
quad corners. F or double H.
I bet that thing's got a lot of fans on it.
Oof.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I don't even know what they're doing for aeration in there, but you'd have to move a lot of air.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, you don't want that 2.2 million bushels to start spoiling on you. That would be very ungood.
I mean, some of the 200,000 bushel bins that I've seen, or 150,000 bushel. I mean, they've got two of the full size fans per channel just on one that size.
Yeah.
You know, and just, I mean, this is 10 times that size.
Right.
So. Yeah.
I did ask someone from Sukup what they had for a floor in there, and they told me that they were doing a full floor. So there's no way you're doing a full floor in there.
No.
And yeah, it turns out I'm 90% sure they didn't.
How many supports would it take to support all that weight?
Yeah.
A lot.
So you're talking the full floor.
They don't use our supports, but
yet. Yeah. Well, you're
everyone's
you're
similar, but like I said, foot the door.
There you go.
But yeah.
All right.
So we should probably mention that Brady is a traveling floor support salesman. I think you sort of mentioned that.
Yep.
And
he knows all things bins.
We'll let him do a little company plug here. Where are you based out of? What do you do? Tell us what you do.
Well, so our company is Ella and J Industries. We're out of Charles City, Iowa, and that is what we do. We specialize in welded floor supports. They're the welded stand, so they're a little bit different than what your typical single panel galvanized stand under your floor plank is. But that's the main thing we do. Over the years, we've kind of adapted. We do a lot of special height stuff anymore. Typically, your plenum height, like Grant said, is 12 inches underneath your floor. We've built them as short as 3 inches, and we've built them as tall as 44 inches and everywhere in between. So right now, I've got some on order that are 40 and a quarter inches and some on order that are 30 inches. And I don't think we have any short ones on order right now. But my sister was on here. She is our, I always say she's our shop foreman, but she doesn't like that. So she's our production manager, I think is what we prefer. But so I'm sure she could correct me and say what we've actually got on order. But then, so I guess traveling sales rep, I don't just have floor supports in the back of my truck. I've usually got a couple I can show off, but going around to all of our dealers, sharing our literature and information, getting all that out, and just kind of shaking hands, making sure they know me.
Well, because you travel, well, you were just talking about how you've got a trip out east to, like, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just, like, talk to one guy and then come home. You'll spend, well, you were on the road for, what, 21 days the last few months?
Yeah, right at
talking 20, to various guys.
Yeah, jumping from farm shows and then going to dealers and all that stuff. So we are a small company. We're a family company. My grandpa started it back in 65. He worked for White Farm. Where they built a lot of White and Oliver tractors, or I guess all the White and Oliver tractors. And he hauled tractors all over the country, so he needed somewhere to work on his semis. So he bought up this place, he did some welding on the side, and then Walsh Manufacturing stepped in, and they came up with this floor support. They're getting into just branching out stuff, so they had Grandpa build a bunch of those. Then it kind of went from there, so it went through the 80s and everything, and kind of figured out what else they could build to get by. And 95, my dad took over for Grandpa and really kind of took it to the next level, focused on the floor supports. We got 3 robotic welding cells now. That
What's their names?
So Abby, Roberta, and Jen in that order. We got Abby.
That's oldest to newest?
Yep. We got Abby's 20 years old now. So next year she can drink. So we'll see if she shows up to work.
Give the robot a cocktail. Nice.
But we got that one in 2004, obviously. And she's about to turn over 2 million floor supports.
Wow.
2 million.
Yep. So back when Grandpa was building them, we could build about 10,000 in a year. Now we can build about 10,000 in a week if we need to.
Wow.
So that's just
all 3 of those run every shift.
Yeah.
Because you just do one day shift, right?
Yep. Yeah, we just do one shift, but they run it all day long. We've got one, the newest one we got in 2014. That one's set up to do some more stuff, too. That's, if any of them's going to be down that we're not using, it's going to be that one.
Mm.
It's the easiest to switch over to random heights or different products and all that stuff. So
I was actually going to ask you about these robots, because so you were saying that you've got different heights ordered. So can you change the height that those robots are welding, or do they just weld one size?
Yeah, so we can build, so that newest one, we can build up to 24-inch supports on it. We do quite a few of those. That's probably the tallest standard height. I've got a couple customers that they put those in all their bins because they're running big drag conveyors under their floors too. Yeah, we're doing a lot of that. And
24-inch is your standard support.
Yeah, like, standard, kind of. It's really tall. Standard tall is 17 inches.
No.
So manufacturers like Brock out of Milford, Indiana, they make a 12-inch stand, and they make a 17-inch stand. And we make products that match up to that for certain applications and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so those of you that might not be familiar with how the bin floor works, so you got your tin can that holds your grain, and then the bottom, like you said, foot to 17-inch, well, 3 inches all the way to 40-some-odd in certain situations. It's just kind of empty space. That's where your fans blow the air. It goes up through the floor. That cools your grain, and then, like, your augers will run underneath the floor, and that's what the niche that you guys are in is, those floor supports that basically hold up the floor, hold up all the weight of everything, you know, your corn, your soybeans, whatever else might be in it. So you guys really kind of cornered the market in, you know, it's just not something that most people probably think about on a day-to-day basis. But, I mean, you guys are living it. You're making them. You're selling them.
Yeah. Well, in something like that, you know, it's going to be a handful of bins a year. So a company like Sukup, they don't need to put in the resources to making 24-inch tall stands if they're only going to do a couple hundred a year, you know. So their reps, their dealers, they'll call us up to take care of that for them. So that works pretty slick. And my sister just texted me. She said that Jen, which is the newest one, knows 50 different sizes of supports.
Oh, wow.
So we'll make them down to the 16th that you need them. So, yeah. So if you have 50 different sizes of supports that we'll build on that one machine. And she does all the programming and all that stuff, so that's why she's got those numbers.
Sounds like we have another guest to have on our
podcast. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, she's all things manufacturing. I'm more just the selling it.
So we've been, I just want to get this out the way before we keep going here, but we've been talking about bushels and sizes and everything like that, you know, the 2.2 million bushels. So a lot of people might not know how much a bushel is. So would you hold up your prop there?
This is the closest thing we could find sitting around my office. It's called a party tub, and it's just kind of...
It's about half a bushel.
If we had to guess, it doesn't say, like, how many milliliters or ounces this thing holds, but I would say if you're looking at the video, this is probably about half of a bushel. And that back in the day, that's how they would have measured it. Like, when you would literally have, this is a bushel of corn. You would fill the basket and, like, hand it off to somebody. We've still got them laying around. I know we do.
A lot of people will go, I know a lot of fall activities and stuff that people go apple picking.
Sure.
And they, a common phrase was, you know, I went and picked a bushel of apples. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a tub or like a crate or something, and they'd walk through and they'd pick it. And when it was full, that's a bushel.
Yep. Yep. So the way we feed our cattle is with 5-gallon pails that, like, you know, old motor oil pails, a standard bucket, I would call it, that a 5-gallon pail. Rough math, that's about a half a bushel as well. So two of them is one full bushel. That's just kind of how I've done that. Barnyard math as well. So yeah, just to kind of put that in perspective, when you're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these things full of grain.
Another for reference, a bushel of corn weighs 56 pounds.
Yep, 56 pounds.
The average.
Right. So
if you're here's a
question for you.
Ooh.
What weighs more, a bushel of dry corn or a bushel of wet corn?
What weighs more?
Mm-hmm.
A bushel of dry corn weighs more.
Well, you would think it'd be a bushel of wet corn because you've got the weight of the water.
But a bushel is measured off volume.
Ooh.
So your wet kernels are bigger than your dry kernels.
Yep, I know that is because if you're filling a truck or a wagon, you cannot fit as many pounds of corn wet. You cannot fit as many wet pounds of corn in a container as you can dry.
I'm sure it makes sense. I just can't make it make sense in my head. But I trust
math.
You. Yeah, exactly. I had never thought of that because, yeah, it's that, like you said, it's that volume to weight ratio.
So, like in the fall, we can haul. So your gross semi, unless they say otherwise, you can haul right around 80,000 pounds. So you can fill that semi front to back with wet corn, and you can still be under that 80,000 unless your truck is really heavy. I mean, it all depends. But with dry corn, if you did that, you'd weigh over 100,000 pounds. I mean, it's quite the difference. I mean, it matters.
Yeah.
So wet and dry corn, where do you get wet corn? Well, when you harvest it, it's normally wet. On a normal year, I would say you harvest wet corn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky, you harvest dry corn and you don't have to dry it. That's for a whole another podcast, but...
Yeah.
The ethanol plants, like the one that has the great big bin, they only take corn that's dry. They will not process wet corn. Even though the first thing that they do is get it wet, they won't take wet corn.
Because
mm-hmm. the first thing they do is soak it in water.
You're just opening up to so much other exposure.
Oh, I know. We could just keep right on going. Speaking of keep right on going, we need to know about the podcast car.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope we didn't forget it because this one's a banger. So as part of my diecast collecting, I carry a different car in my pocket every day. I have since January 1st of 2020. And I had to go back into the archives to find this one, because it's one I carried. I didn't look up the exact date, but it was a few years ago. So this one is called a Thunder Roller. It is basically a cab over semi with like the super sleeper cab on it. The thing's kind of goofy looking, but Hot Wheels. This one probably came out in like the mid-90s, if I remember right. What does the bottom say? I can't read it. They haven't made much for big rigs, especially in the recent years. So these ones are kind of hard to come by. This one I've had in my collection for a while. And I actually picked up another one not that long ago that somebody told me they were interested in. So this one is yours, sir.
Suppose I better pay you for it.
We'll worry about that later.
Coffee.
Oh, there you go. Well, buy me coffee twice. It's
fun fact. Another fun fact. I've got a ton of those.
It's all about the fun fact.
I've got one of these in my office that I had when I was a little kid.
That's pretty well destroyed, if I remember right.
Yeah, I was going to bring it today, then I forgot it.
Well, there you go. Now we would have had three. So yeah, that's the podcast car was the Thunder Roller because I knew I found that about 20 minutes before you showed up because like, I know it's in one of these bins I got sitting around my office, but I did find that one put in the protective case because I'm like I gotta get that to him. You kept asking me about it, so I got that one on a online auction I think for less than a dollar, and I know it's worth a little more than that.
Is this the original box?
It's in the original card. I put it in the plastic protector. I have a bunch of those just because you buy certain cars that have a little more value to them. They come in those plastic.
It's the coolest to collect. You can tell by the way it is.
Oh yeah. What's the back of the card say? What year did that come out? I know they started making them in like the early 80s because the bottom of this one says 82, but that one specifically would have been. The
introduction was 1984.
Okay. But that one specifically probably came out like the early to mid 90s. So Thunder Roller. Yeah, they've made some pretty cool ones. Like I said,
1995 model.
Ooh, hey, the year. Well, at least I was born.
That's when I was born.
Oh, that's right. You were late 95.
Chris is old.
He's old. Old boy. 94, that one.
Whatever, dude. Your birthday's coming up.
We don't need to talk about that.
Oh, I just, the light bulb.
we'll have more episodes between now and then where we can, yeah, where I get closer to 30 like the rest of you. But
it's okay. You're the last one out of our friend group to hit it, I think. I was going to say,
he's younger than I am. What you talking about, Willis?
I'm not in the friend group.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you in the group chat. It'll be fine. So yeah,
there's a group chat? I'm not even in the group chat.
Oh, maybe it's just me then.
Probably.
The voices in my head.
The voices tell me it's an interesting chat. So while we did the podcast car, I suppose we can kind of go back to the events of the last 2 weeks since we weren't able to record a podcast. You guys were able to record the podcast last week. I, however, was not. I'll get into that. But so
no, yeah. That we can just cover that right now with the events of the week. We'll just start with you.
All right. So we usually record these on Saturday. We had Brady lined up to come. Me and Chris were planning on doing it here at my place. And I got a call from my dad middle of the afternoon. He was up at a farm sale about an hour away in Minnesota. And a wheel fell off of his pickup.
Whose pickup?
His.
Whose pickup?
The farm's.
Ah.
All right, fine. It's mine. I drive it most frequently. Wheel happened to fall off. I don't know if it's because over torquing or under torquing or what the deal was, but he was able to limp it off the road, but the wheel stud snapped off. So I had to get all the tools together and go rescue him. The biggest problem was finding the studs because, you know, it's late afternoon on a Saturday, not a lot of parts stores are open, and then to get the actual right part, and that was kind of a whole run around in itself. We were able to get it to work and then get it back home. We did have to buy a new rim, everybody made it home safe, so that was kind of the biggest thing. Just wasn't what I was planning, and yeah, so I was home a little late, so we weren't able to do it. So that was why we missed the episode last week. That's on me. That's on me. But other than that, the events of this week, I've been in and out of doctor's offices a lot. I got LASIK like a week and a half ago, so I had a follow-up appointment on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, my daughter went in for, got ear tubes. She's just been fighting some ear infections and stuff. So a lot of doctor visits for us this week, but everybody's doing good, all things considered. And then, what else did I do this week? We have some calves hit the ground. So, of course, when there's a change in the weather, those of you that run cattle, you know that that's oftentimes when cows will be like, hey, it's raining or it's cold all of a sudden. I'm going to give birth to this calf. It's my wife watching the Iowa girls basketball game. If you hear some whooping in the distance, that's what's going on. But
I bet someone dunked it.
Probably. She's unstoppable, that Caitlin Clark. But, so yeah, we've got two calves on the ground right now. Everybody's doing good, so that's always kind of a stressful time. You know, are the calves going to eat? Are the mamas going to claim them? Are they going to produce enough milk? But yeah, we're in the full swing of cabin season here. So far so good.
Is that kind of late for you guys? Is it still the first week of April?
Yeah, today's about the 5th. So yeah, it was funny. She sent me a memory that showed up on her Snapchat from last year. This time we already had 7 calves on the ground. Jeez. And right now we only have 2. So it's kind of this, what's the deal? So cows have a gestation time of 9 months, same as people. And so they, you know, you put the bull in, they get bred, and then they have the calf. You know, you kind of can put the bull in at certain times to affect when they're going to calve. We like to get most of ours done before planting season. But at the rate we're going, I mean, it's not going to happen. Now, so
if you guys have all your calves or most of your calves next week, you ain't going to have, that's going to be perfect weather. 60s.
Mm-hmm. It's sunny. Supposed to be nicer. Yep. Cause the number of times I've had to carry a cold, wet calf into the barn cause it's, you know, storming in mid, late March.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't have every calf on the farm here a couple nights ago when it was snowing and blowing.
Yeah.
It was cold.
We were worried. we bedded them down good. We fed them extra. We're like, all right, let's keep an eye on them because this could be bad. But nope, no calves yet. We usually have a few in late March. But this year, we're going to have everybody April or later, which so far is not a bad thing. So hopefully our luck continues with the calving herd. Still got about 15 more to go. So yeah, that's been my week. Nothing too crazy. So what do you got, Chris? What's your week been looking like?
Well, this week we got in and do a little field work, and I finished putting anhydrous ammonia on today. So
we were worried you weren't going to be able to make it this week. You were putting on gas.
It was a busy couple of days. All of a sudden it was dry, and it's like, wow, I could really be doing things. And finished that up today, and did some shop work earlier in the week. It rained again. Did you see that? We got moisture.
It's
so exciting. It's so exciting.
You know, it hasn't rained much when.
And serviced, you know, a skid loader was ready for service, so we got that in, and got some driveway projects that are getting done, and it's just kind of getting last minute things in organized for planting season, because it's April 10th, baby. She's coming right around the corner.
Yep, kind of do it while you can, because for long, you're not going to want to stop to do those things.
Correct. We got a chance of rain Sunday and Monday now, too, and bring it on.
Yeah, we'll take all the moisture we can get.
I don't.
Rain, not moisture, because that implies snow. Just rain.
Do you know how much rain you got here?
With this last little bit, my rain gauge fell over, but I'd have to look. I want to say it was a few tenths, though, but with the wind and the sun that we've been getting, it's all pretty much dried up. Tile lines haven't been running.
So. I haven't seen. I saw my first tile line running yesterday.
Did you take a picture?
I did not.
Oh, you should have.
No, but I could, like, we had flow. It wasn't just the moisture in the pipe. It was actual flow. So that's positive. Mm.
We'll take it, because we're way behind in this area.
Well, so the Iowa drought meter still has us in the dark red. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got a long way to go.
We are right smack in the middle of the worst part of the state. And I don't know where that compares to the rest of the country, but it's not good.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and then, you know, my friends up north, they just about got stuck just driving across their field the other day. So, I mean, they're wet.
I saw they had some snow.
They had a lot of snow. Yeah. They had like a foot.
I pay attention to what your friends do, too. I think a lot of people pay attention to what your friends up north do.
About 400,000 people.
We'll get there someday. But
they'll get here someday.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Call out.
Name dropping. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
So, Brady, how was your week?
Oh, it was fantastic.
What did you do?
What did I do this week? Well, I was in the office.
I asked you that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you repeating what I'm saying?
We got to work with one of the ag classes for like the sophomores in high school. They came out and toured the shop. My sister did the earlier tour and I did the one in the afternoon, and it's kind of cool getting to show a bunch of kids around our shop, show them what the machines do and why we do certain things and what the floor supports are and all that stuff. And yeah, I also coach football in the fall, so
go
I got to see half a dozen football kids, and one of them kept talking when I was talking, and I called him out and asked him what I said, and he got all red and all embarrassed. It was great.
Did you make him take a lap around the building?
I should have.
Did you have anybody that was on their phone during your presentation?
I'm sure I did.
You should have showed them the shear with that phone.
Ooh, that's what I should have done.
You got that big metal shear. I remember that.
Do I have any volunteers? Oh, look, you got one out right there.
Yeah. But so that was pretty cool. Then we're working on a new product. No, it's not a floor support. It goes on top of the floor.
Yeah, he was telling me about
Whoa.
It. Whoa! You should have brought the sample.
Where's the sample? Where's the models?
Well, we're not pushing them too hard quite yet. So
because he's got them all sold already.
Yeah, we're building 100 of them as kind of a prototype kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll prototype things for you.
We'll be R&D.
I might ask you about that later. But anyway, I asked Grant this morning.
Yeah, I'm in, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, so that was my afternoon today. I was covered in junk, which I told Grant's wife I don't spend much time in the shop today, and the time I was out there more than an hour just smashed the crap out of my
phone. Oh, no.
Been so good for so long, the one time I'm out here.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Guess so my job today was trying to figure out how to palletize these things.
Guess what I did at work today, honey?
I got no thumb left.
But. Yeah. Then my wife actually left for Europe today. So
what is she going to do over there?
Well, she works for McDonald's here in town. She does marketing for the McDonald's up this way.
Mm-hmm.
And her boss owns 17 different McDonald's restaurants. And so it's pretty big operation. And they do their international conference every couple of years somewhere in the world. This year it's in Barcelona, Spain. So
McDonald's is a large company for those of you that may not know.
If you don't know who McDonald's is.
If you don't know the McDonald's, that's the double arches that you see driving down the road.
Yeah, you don't know who they are, but somehow you're listening to our podcast. That's a little screwy. But.
So it not to go off your McDonald's thing there. I was so excited for this. This is a fat kid moment right here.
Is the McRib back?
No, the breakfast steak bagel sandwich is back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it like four times already.
That is the best $10 I've spent.
Oh yeah. It's way too expensive, but it is so worth it. Yeah.
Wait, so it's a, what is it? It's steak and eggs on a bagel.
Steak, egg, cheese, bagel. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Mm.
Oh, it's so good.
Hmm.
Change your life.
Yep. I know what you're doing before 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'll be taking a nap because I ate that thing. And now I'm like, I need some insulin and a quick 30-minute nap. Oh, my gosh.
I'll be on the way to do hog chores. It's like, nope, swinging in, getting steak.
Oh, man. But yeah, you go right by it, don't you?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, geez. It's good. Yeah, so you said that you were in the shop for the first time in a while because a lot of your time, like we talked about, is spent on the road. You're out talking to guys and traveling around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what's kind of been your biggest, not experience, but like what's kind of been the best part of being out on the road? I know you're gone for a while, but talking to people and just kind of what's that like?
So I started doing this bit in 2018. The tail end of 2018 and 2019, I was gone 32 weeks and that's Monday to Friday, leave Monday morning, get home Friday night. My wife,
those of you that don't know, there's only 52 weeks in a year.
My wife was not the happiest, but since then I kind of slowing that down a bit. I don't travel in the fall as much so I can coach football, and, guys typically don't want to see me if they're trying to finish building their jobs for the end of the year. So that's changed over the years, but it was really important for me to get out and meet all these guys, make these relationships, as I transitioned from our previous sales guy. And I guess the best thing is running into these guys that knew my grandpa. There's not many people that did. He really didn't do any of the sales. But every now and then I'll run into a guy that, He's like, oh, are you part of the family? I said, yeah. And he's like, oh, you remember Jim Garden? Because my last name's Garden. This is a big spoiler alert. But
it's okay. We don't need to cut that out. It's fine.
But that was my grandpa. Like, oh, man, he would haul stuff for us or what have you. And it's just, I don't know, that's really cool. My sister and I, a couple years ago, we started buying my dad out. So we're in that transition. So it's kind of cool, a little legacy there. That kind of stuff. Since I have been doing that long enough, the relationships I have with my customers and the guys I can go have a drink with at the end of the day or go out for dinner or even just stop and say hi. It's pretty cool. A lot of these guys that call me on the phone, and I had one guy in Indiana call me, and he was on his way to get his hair cut. And I told him, I had just met the guy a couple weeks prior, but I've been talking to him for years. And we're all wearing baseball caps, but he's one of those, like, kind of, you got to look nice kind of guys. And he, like, has hair folded over and everything. And I said, oh, yeah, I suppose you're kind of one of those frou-frou guys. You got to have your hair looking nice and everything all the time. And he kind of gave me a bunch of crap about it. And then he texted me the next day the thing from Seinfeld where Jerry's like, how'd you go? He's like, I'm a pretty boy.
Yeah. I'm a very pretty boy.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just those things are just, just the relationships and friendships that I've gotten to build over the years at that. And,
yeah.
You got some big shoes to fill there, being your dad and your grandpa. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's a good thing you wear big shoes.
Oh, yeah. It helps.
Yeah, working in the family business does have its ups and downs. I mean, working so closely with family. I mean, yeah, the both of us know that well, being part of the family farms and a lot of people that, you know, work with family. It has its moments, but I do see, like, yeah, you said you've been texting your sister. She's in the group chat. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's watching out for you at least a little bit. So, but yeah, she did mention that you're something that you've recently acquired in the last year that
I wanted to just bring this up a while ago.
I'm surprised that he hasn't brought it up to how much he loves.
Just waiting for the perfect time.
His truck camper.
I've been sitting here staring at
that matchbox you got me.
Thinking about that.
Why is this the first time I've seen that?
Yeah, because that was one he found for me, that matchbox Toyota with the truck camper on it. Oh. But there's other ones out there. I'm looking for you, buddy. But
thank you.
So, yeah, with all the traveling you do, obviously you would stay in hotels. But then recently you decided to go a more different – I'm trying to think of the word.
Cheaper. Like,
yeah, there you go. Minimalist route. So
– yeah, that was the thing. It's staying in a different hotel every night, and which was fine. I mean, I'm not staying at the Super 8s, but I'm not staying at the top of the line hotels either. But just kind of nice to be able to put my feet up in the same place at night, and yeah, I figured I'd give that a shot and see how it goes. But yeah, so that's actually the opposite of what my setup is.
Because I see that.
My truck
soft
is gray, and my camper is white.
Also not a Toyota, you're a Ford guy, so
oh yeah,
you might as well just walk us all through your setup. So you've got your
so all right, you've got a vision. This, you walk in, off to the left you got the wet bath, you got a shower and a toilet, and
as opposed to a dry bath.
And I can so the wet bath is all in one, where a dry bath would be that your toilet's separate. So I'm 6'3". There's a skylight in the top of that. My head touches the top of the skylight when I'm standing inside there. But yeah, then I've got, so off to the right, there's a little fold down couch. That's where I sit and do all my quotes and all that stuff at night. Mm-hmm. And there's a little kitchenette in there and queen size bed and a couch or a fridge, and got a TV, a smart TV in there. So I can watch all my shows and all that jazz. And I'm on, I'm on Harvest Hosts, which is, I don't know, it's kind of like a camping thing, I guess, that you can, it's all these breweries and restaurants and wineries all over the country that are on this. You pay like $150 for the year, and you can go stay at these places, and a lot of times they have electricity or water for you, and do a little tour of their place and get to know people. And so that's been kind of fun to do that, too. Then when you're done eating or enjoying a couple of refreshments. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just walk back to the camper and go to bed. So that's been something that I started this winter, and I've really enjoyed it. So like Grant said earlier, I'm going out to Pennsylvania in a couple of weeks, doing a big trip out there. I'm planning to bring the camper with me and see the sights.
Yeah, because I know you originally had the one kind of smaller truck bed camper, and then you upgraded to a larger one, and then you had to do some upgrades to your pickup because you'd just been putting it in the back of your F-150.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you had to do some suspension upgrades, if I remember.
Yeah, right. I swapped out the bump stops, put some timber and bump stops in. So instead of sagging 4 inches, it sags like a quarter inch. But it rides pretty smooth. I forget I'm hauling it sometimes. So I look in my mirror and I'm like, oh, wait.
I mean, it's a pretty sizable camper for a half-ton pickup, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It handles it great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I am within the payload.
Sure.
In case
Ford is watching.
don't stop at the way stations. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine, but... I mean, yeah, I remember when you were telling me about it, it's like you need to start like a blog or a TikTok page or something about just how you're traveling around and what you do with your truck bed camper.
You could do a vlog. You could do it while you drive.
Yeah, I've thought about that. But there's a guy in Minnesota that I follow. His name's Kenny of All Trades. And just every weekend he goes out and takes his truck camper out in some state parks and camps out. And just that's all he does is just videos of him. What he does camping, and I don't know, it's really cool. He's just a pretty cool guy.
Living in a truck camper down by the river.
Yeah, he's got a truck camper. How can he not be a cool guy?
I've seen a couple of those, and they just like pull out this slab of wood and they start cooking a steak or something like on some scenic view, and it's like, I'd like to see what is behind the camera.
Truck stop somewhere, but
yeah.
All right, so
the worst that happened though. I took a 3 week trip, I guess. There is a farm show in Louisville, the National Farm Machinery Show. It's the largest indoor farm show in the country. Chris was there too.
Walked right past him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember talking to the both. He's like, did you see Chris? Did you see Brady? Oh, I didn't know he was there. It's like, boys, we need to start the group chat. But anyways, yeah. He's you're like, both. Oh, in Louisville.
I was right here. And I'm like, I walked right past that.
Yeah. So I was down there for the week. I set up with Conrad American and Sioux Steel. Those are two companies that we supply to. So if you're looking for a grain bin, Conrad American and Sioux Steel.
For all your bin needs.
But I was down there for the week, doing all that stuff. And, the following week, I guess my plan was to go from there, mess around in Indiana a little bit, swing through Kentucky, go through Arkansas, and then wind up in Kansas City at some point for the Grain Elevator and Processing Society exchange. Yeah, so I put like, I don't even know, like 3,000 miles on in that.
Jeez.
I was going to say that. I'm picturing that in my head. It's like, that is not the right direction.
Yeah, for those of you that can't see us, Chris and I are both drawing like in the air, like, okay, well, he went that way and then this way and then he came all the way around.
Yeah. So I stayed at Harvest Host and stuff the whole way there. And I was just south of Joplin, Missouri, stayed at a distillery, Tall Pines Distillery. It was fantastic. But they had brand new gravel and, they didn't serve any food and the distillery closed at like 6 o'clock. So I was like, I'm going to go get something to eat. And went to town. Restaurant was jam packed. So I went to the gas station, found some chicken and mac and cheese and took her back to the campsite to go eat and hopped out of the truck and I heard a psh. Oh no. One of my tires had a hole in it. So hopped in the truck, hightailed it back into town and I heard a psh. Both my rear tires had holes.
Both your rear tires.
Oh, no. So
I'm standing in the gas station with a can of Fix and Flat in both hands, just looking at each
one. Oh, no.
I had a lot of help from a couple guys down there that they got me set up with brand new tires.
Side of the road, no
at
less.
At 9:30 at night. Yeah. And yeah, so it I lucked out there. And yeah, but.
Well, at least he had some place to stay when you couldn't go anywhere.
Well, I asked the guy over the phone. I said, well, I got a truck camper on the back. Do I need to lift it off of here? And he just kind of laughed. No, you're fine. Well, he came out. Turns out he's the guy that will jack those semis that have a tire blow on the side of the road, and he just used that jack to lift my truck. Goes, ah, yeah, that's a little less weight than what you're used to. But,
yeah. So I know, just like talking with you about all your adventures, like, you know, because both of us kind of stick around the farm, but we're in the area for most of the time, but you're traveling all over the Midwest and even farther, like you said, going to Pennsylvania and whatnot. And so just like kind of walk us through, like you get up on a Monday morning, your truck camper's all loaded, you're gonna make a run. Just kind of like walk us through like what your week would look like as a traveling bin floor support salesman.
Yeah, so I've got a Google map set up with all my customers on it, and I kind of plan my routes out beforehand, figure out who I'm gonna just go see and where they are and everything. And most of them a lot of them are just gonna be cold calls, just kind of swing in, check on everything, how's it all going. Sometimes I'll schedule appointments depending on what I need to talk about. But that's really the majority of it. Figure out who I'm going to go see, and I average about, it'll be like 5 hours of driving to go see all my customers. And sometimes that's 4 customers in a day. Sometimes it's 16 customers in a day, just depending on how close they are. So, yeah, but the territory I cover is western Nebraska to eastern Indiana and up to the Canadian border, down to the southern Missouri border, and everywhere in between. But like I said, we're a small company. I'm the only sales guy, so trying to make these further out trips to go see these guys in Pennsylvania and New York, and got some guys down in Texas I'd like to see eventually too. So
because in all reality, like a lot of these sales and like the conversation you have could be done over the phone or less, but like you said, you create these relationships with these guys. You're out pounding the pavement, putting the meat on the street, like creating those relationships to where people want to do business with you because they knew your grandpa, they knew your dad, now they know you. So I mean, to actually be out there doing the thing, you know, I think that definitely helps them, you know, like, hey, this is a guy I want to do business with. You know, he's putting in the effort, putting in the miles and the time to come see us. And you know, I'm sure they appreciate that.
The grain industry too, you have to put your product in front of guys. Like they need to know what's there, because if they don't, they're just going to forget. You know, not everybody runs into a situation they need extremely tall floor supports, but everyone needs to put supports in their bins eventually. So trying to make sure that our stuff is out there for those guys and everything too. And in that grain industry too, I mean, a handshake still means a lot to these guys. You know, I'm talking to guys that are in their 70s, 80s that have been doing this their whole life, kind of carrying it on to the next generation too, that, you know, they were around in the 70s, 80s where everyone carried a briefcase around and all that. So, so that's important, and a lot of companies are getting away from that too. Just as, I mean, like you said, it's Zoom calls are available, phone calls, all that. And that's made it easier for me to stick home different times of the year too. But yeah,
it's really the handshake that gets them, because you got a heck 100%. Of a handshake.
That's the goal.
Yeah, let me get in on that.
Yeah, there we go.
Ooh, that is a good one. I makes me want to buy something from you.
Oh, perfect.
Please sell me your four sports.
Oh, I'll sell you.
Okay, so I think what we're gonna do here is I've got some more material, and I know you've got more material, and I know for a fact he's got a lot more material. So we are actually going to end this podcast, and we are going to make a part two right away here, and then we will post it a week from now. So just everybody that's listening, if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening, and the continuation
to be continued
of the podcast that has supported us this far.
So yeah, thanks to everybody for tuning in. And until next week, where we continue on this conversation, just check us out on our socials, TikTok, Instagram, and the YouTube at the Diecast Ranch. And yeah, I'm Grant.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Brady.
Thanks for stopping by.